Sausages of Zen with zealots and lots, color-coded and manned by the manes of tomorrow's world. We bury in a tree, scaries the sky of the ground with its leathery binds, with its leathery roots. Cracks it, matches its sand. Every grain, a whisper of time remains. And when we get there, I swear to you, I will give you your 45,000 rubles.
And right now, I want you to dance!
To push back another closed door, and to prove to disbelievers that he's coming back for more. So now the exit has been found. It's time to make a run. And looking back behind you, you see them running, 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 running. I see my bill. I pay my bill.
Doing They don't even see what's really being sold.
Stars, battle, 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 battle. The National Broadcasting Company invites you by transcription to join The Taste. Hunter and the hunted, hound and fox, hawk and sparrow, cat and mouse. We in the topmost species have also joined the hunt. But who is to judge precisely which of us are hounds or foxes as we enter the chase?
The day I finally made the switch from Detective Sergeant Peter Peru to Detective Lieutenant Peter Peru should have been a happy day because it's just what we've been waiting for, Joan and I. The promotion. Oh, how we chased that promotion. Maybe you didn't know it, but the difference between a sergeant's pay and a lieutenant's pay is $9.62 a week. Not much, but all the difference Joan always used to say that we needed to get married on. Well, now I've got the lieutenancy and I've got the miserable $9.62 more a week. But now I haven't got Joan. What stopped us? A little piece of nothing, shaped like a dog collar, narrow as a postcard, and flexible like celluloid. A dictation tape. Yeah, that and a miserable dictating machine and the man who used them. It all started the night I went to pick Joan up at the office where she worked as a secretary. Generally, I knocked off duty about the same time she finished work, but if I was tied up on a case, she'd just stay on doing some freelance typing job she'd picked up from an employment agency. It only brought in a couple of bucks, but it was her way of chasing our wedding day while I chased the promotion. Hi, Johnny.
Oh, hello, sweetie. Be with you in a minute. Just finishing this page.
Oh, come on, come on. The strong arm of the law has a weak stomach crying for food.
Just a minute.
Hey, I haven't seen you use your boss's dictating machine on your outside typing job before. What is it? A new job?
Just got from the employment agency today. I'm looking for a writer after office hours now. Good pay, too.
Oh, yeah? What is it, a book?
Yeah, it's a novel. It's kind of gory. It's about a shy young man who's going crazy and knows it.
Oh? Who's writing it?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. These dictation tapes are delivered to me every couple of days. I type up the pages and mail them to the agency.
Oh, that's simple.
Sure. South Pacific was dictated on tape that way.
And you'll never see your boss?
Never. He just sends my hard-earned pay with the tape.
Well, that should make for pleasant employer-employee relations. Now, what about the food department?
Oh, as a matter of fact, I'd like to see this man. He sounds brooding, sensitive, lonely. Real romantic type, Pete. I can't help wondering who he is, what he is.
Oh, fine.
Why, Peter, you're jealous. You're jealous of a voice.
Look, when you're ready to quit, let me know. I'll be in the coffee shop downstairs. Just poke your head in, okay?
Okay. I'll poke my head in on the end of a stick.
You'd better give that rider up, Joni, old girl. Give that rider up. But Joan Clinton didn't give her rider up. I should have stopped it when she went from simple interest to fascination. And as each day went by, she looked forward with more impatience to the delivery of the little tapes that brought her into a strange, one-sided communication with a man she'd never met. After a while, all she could ever talk about to me or to her office friends was her wonderful rider.
Oh, say, Annie, you want to hear something really good?
Oh, Joan, have a heart. I heard that tape twice this morning.
Oh.
Still hearing from your rider, huh? How's that story coming? The one about the shy fella going nuts.
Oh, Annie's just wonderful. And today, he added a postscript on the tape. He said when the book was finished, he'd find out who I was, and he'd come to see me. Last night, I typed up 27 pages, and on each tape I listened to, he sounded chipper and cheerful and happy. Oh, he was so gay, just like a little boy.
No night work lately, Joan. How come?
I don't know, Pete. I don't know. I suddenly stopped hearing from him. His last tape sounded so sad and strange. And that was 10 days ago.
I don't mind telling you that I was glad. Yeah, I'm no Gregory Peck, you know. I'm not even a fair Humphrey Bogart for looks. But when a guy finds himself competing with a voice coming off a dictation tape for his girlfriend, it's a little unsettling. So I was glad. Until I went to pick her up a couple of days ago at her office. I had left my partner, Sammy Sampson, in the squad car downstairs. And no sooner did I open Joan's office door...
Pete? Oh, Pete, I'm so glad you're here.
Joanie, what's happened? What's the matter?
Listen, Pete, listen to this. I got this tape tonight. The first one in 11 days, and it has something on it that... Oh, wait a minute. I'll turn the dictating machine on. Listen on these earphones.
Mm-hmm.
This should start as a new paragraph chapter. The driving force within him no longer raged. He was calm, for he knew precisely what he must do. He listened for a moment to the foghorns in the bay, and then he opened the shop door. He saw the frightened face of the old man staring up at him. He paused. Then with great precision and almost no effort and absolutely no emotion, I took the sword from under my coat, and with it, I killed him.
What do you see?
Well, what do you want me to see?
This man dictated the story saying, he listened for a minute to the foghorn and used the word he when he said he opened the shop door and he saw the man. But when it came to the violence, the killing, he said, I took the sword and with it, I killed him.
Tony, what are you driving at?
Pete, this man's been writing about someone who's lonely, moody, depressed, about someone who's going mad. Someone who killed. He's not writing just about someone. He's writing about himself.
Lots of times a writer, to help his thinking, will mentally exchange places with his lead character, and I could understand how this writer had put himself in the place of the killer he was writing about. That's why the guy on the tape had said I instead of he, that's all. I read it someplace, and it made sense, but it took me 15 minutes of the biggest salesmanship I could deliver to bring Joan to the point where she agreed with me. Here, Joanie, drink this and you'll feel better. Then I'll drive you home, and I want you to forget all this stuff. You just haven't been your old self, sweetie.
Guess I've been working too hard, Pete, and thinking of this voice. Oh, he's probably a timid little man of 50, married and henpecked, and using the story as a release for his inhibitions and frustrations. I'm sorry I've been such a jerk, and I've been so unfair to you. Oh, Pete, how could I be so silly? Oh, Pete.
Forget it, kid. Yeah, this is worth it.
Pete! Pete! Hello!
Oh, holy cats. I forgot all about Sammy Sampson.
Oh, it's my fault. I'm sorry.
Pete!
Here, hold this glass, John.
Uh-huh.
In here, Sam.
Pete, I just picked up a general alarm on the squawk box in the car.
What is it?
Murder.
Where?
On the waterfront. An old man killed with a sword.
It didn't take long to check with the cops at the waterfront shop and find that facts meshed with fiction point by point. By my book, that much of a coincidence just couldn't happen. I asked the precinct to send a couple of men to meet Sammy and me at Joan's office, and the chase was on. Here was the chance for the promotion. Without even looking for it, the biggest case of my life was right in my lap. The only thing wrong was that my only lead, my hottest lead, was my own sweetheart.
Who is he, Joan? Where is he?
Oh, Sam.
She's told us 10 times, Sam. She doesn't know.
Someone must. Look, let's run this down. The Harriet House Employment Agency got Joan this typing job, right?
Right.
This writer mails 2 or 3 tapes in a plain white envelope to Joan's home every couple of days, right?
Yeah, but with no return address to give us anything to go on. Except this one's postmark shows it was mailed last night from the main Times Square postal station.
Oh, swell. The biggest in the city. That should be cute to trace. Okay, then what?
After I...